a previously recorded Matt Slick show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right. Welcome, everyone. It is a nice Friday, 4/24/2020. Hey, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. Last four digits spell carm.org. Okay, that's right. Just clearing my throat there a little bit. So, let's see. We don't have any callers waiting right now, so I'll just kind of fill in a little bit of time, tell you what I'm doing on Twitter. And got a lot of stuff going on. We have over 13,000 followers on Twitter, and 13,435 as it is right now. So I put out a question this morning just to let people know. I don't want to do the question thing yet, did I? I'm going to do that. That's right. I got that ready to go. I put up a notice about my novel and stuff like that, but I'm going to put up a Twitter post about what people would like to see in the Twitter, because one of the things I want to do is do a scripture with a brief analysis of the scripture and do a series of those. I've already got 20 of them ready, and I'll be giving them to a friend of mine, Charlie. What he'll do is put them into a program, and then it just releases them at regular times. Normally what we do is we just have a link, and it's just kind of there. So I think what wants to be more more personal. And I think I might be doing some comments on current events and things like that as well, and trying to keep things going that way. So if you are interested in checking it out, all you got to do is go to carm.org and just go to I think it's just carm or Twitter, just Twitter /carm.org. And also, a pastor at Calvary Chapel, where I attend, emailed me, and he's emailed me every now and then on the issue of flat earth, and people contact him about this. I don't know. So I spent an hour today developing a questionnaire on flat earth, and I went to a Flat Earth Society website where they have a forum, and they seem to be rather open-minded about it, people opposing and stuff like that. So, and they answer these questions. So I thought of 27 questions that I put on this, and the plan is to use those answers. Hopefully it'll give me answers. And then I could write an article about flat earth. Now, I certainly don't affirm flat earth theory. But, I had some questions. What is it? What is the evidence for it? Just things like that. And we'll see what they say. And then I'll plan to write an article on that. Also, I need to finish up some articles on Jimmy Swaggart and on Kenneth Copeland. And then release some mini sections on them. And what I'm going to do then is tackle, I think, probably Beth Moore next. She's got some issues going on, and I'm going to tackle her. I've already done a Joyce Meyer as an article and exposed some of the heresies that she teaches. And unfortunately, that is the case. Unfortunately, folks, a lot of these TV evangelist-type teachers they have the ability to speak, and they have people come alongside of them, but they don't know theology very well. And it's pretty shameful, some of the things that they teach. They don't know what's going on. And hopefully they would be open to being corrected, to being talked to in a friendly way, having questions asked and go through some of the stuff. But so far I've not seen that be the case. They don't, I don't know what that is, because in Christianity you're supposed to, the preacher teacher should be humble. And I'm not saying if you don't answer my questions, you're not humble. I'm not saying that. It's just that in every instance of me trying to contact various groups and individuals in that light, no one has ever responded. No one has. When I have a series of questions and want to interview them, it just doesn't happen. So if someone were to come to me and say, Matt, I've heard some of the things you say. I'd like to have you come on my show, and I'm going to grill you on why you say what you say. I say, sure, let's go. And I've had people correct me on things. That's fine. And people come to me and say, Matt, I think you're right about something. Okay, what is it? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right, and the Lord's going to use you to speak to me. Let me know. And so, you know, I'm not saying I'm humble, but you know, it's just, how come these guys and gals don't seem to want to be humble about things? I don't know. Maybe these get beat up too much, and I can certainly see why. Because they teach so much heresy. Like I said, I don't need to get a t-shirt. So much heresy, so little time. And we have some schools online, folks, if you're interested in checking out the schools. Apparently a lot of people are signing up for them, even more and more, and that, of course, is good. We hope that you want to continue to do that because they're there. On the CARM homepage, all you got to do is go to carm.org and you can check it out. And also we have a podcast. You know, I'll get more information up, but if you go to carm.org/radio, the link for the podcast information is there, and you can check that out too. So we've got that, and I got my novel. I'll talk about that later. I've been blabbing a lot for the intro here. So I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's get to Scott from Winston-Salem. Scott, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir.
All right.
How are you?
I'm all right, man. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
I'm trying to make some career decisions, and there's two verses that appear to contradict. I know that right about to be a bad translation or something, but can I read a couple verses?
Yeah, what are they? Yeah, and I'll check them out too.
2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17.
So 2 Corinthians 6, 17. Okay, what's the other verse?
Yes. Titus. Chapter 1,
mm-hmm.
verses 15.
All right, so in 2 Corinthians 6, 17, therefore come out of her, from her midst and be separate. So the Lord, do not touch what is unclean, I'll welcome you. And Titus 1, 15, to the pure all things are pure, but those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their mind and their conscience are defiled. Okay, what's the problem? What's the issue?
In one place, it sounds like, back in 2 Corinthians, it sounds like that we shouldn't team up with unbelievers and what about making money.
Do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness, or what fellowship has light with darkness, or what harmony has Christ with Belial, or what is a believer in common with an unbeliever? The idea is to stay separate from unbelievers because they will drag you down. That's the idea. And if Titus 1:15, to the pure all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Talked about the difference between those who are Christians and non-Christians, basically. So there's no contradiction yet.
Okay. I'm thinking maybe I'd be better off. I've been putting off getting a job because of that verse where it says, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers.
I hear what you're saying, but it has to do with partnerships I would assume in business and things like this where you're going to join, which is a mutually helpful thing. In jobs, even Jesus said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's and the Lord what is the Lord's. So you're able to work in a secular environment. It's very rare that anybody can work in a purely Christian environment. It just doesn't happen like that very often. Okay? But
there would be a payoff if you did, though, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But you see, how many people can do that? Like, for example, you know, me. Okay. So for me, you know, I work full-time in the ministry I have. We have one other full-time employee. And it's rare to have that kind of a thing. And then there's ministries and seminaries. But, you know, what about doctors and mechanics and construction workers? you know, they're going to have to work in an environment that is, you know, secular in a lot of ways. It's not that they're partnering with them, but they're being employed, and in that situation, what they can do is try and spread the gospel and the kingdom of God in that environment. If we Christians don't go out into the world and get involved with the world because of Titus 1:5 or 2 Corinthians 6:14, well, then we won't be able to ever witness, you know, or at least not very effectively. Okay.
Yeah, I guess you don't want to be persuaded,
right,
by the lost.
Right. You know, and generally, we don't want to, you know, it's not biblical for a Christian to marry a non-Christian. And this is how this verse in 2 Corinthians 6 is often used for that, to be bound with unbelievers. It may or may not exactly mean that, but it definitely applies. So, believers should not marry unbelievers. Christians should not date unbelievers and do missionary dating and, oh, he or she will convert. You know, you don't do that. That's just defiance of the truth. Okay?
Just asking for trouble, I guess.
Yeah.
When...
Okay.
All right, well, I'll let you go, man. You got some more people calling.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy.
And I appreciate your input.
All right. Well, thank you. All right, we have three open lines, folks. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Ron from Cary, North Carolina. Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call. Really appreciate it.
Sure.
I have Parkinson's disease.
Oh, sorry.
And I've called you twice, and I'm calling to apologize because I have a hard time speaking,
and okay.
I do apologize, sir.
No, there's nothing to apologize for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just have a hard time thinking and talking. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
As far as these other preachers you were talking about, like the Joel Osteen, what do you think of him, if you don't mind me asking?
He's a feel-good, ear-tickling minister. And he doesn't preach, in my opinion, the truth of God's word in a lot of areas. When I went to his church and checked it out once, I left feeling very encouraged, and I felt very good. I didn't learn anything, but I felt good because it was so uplifting. Went over to the bookstore, which was bigger than most churches, and I asked if they had anything on systematic theology. And the guy working there said, "Well, what's that?" I said, "Well, it's a book that arranges theology systematically so you can know what the truth of the doctrines of Christianity are." 20 minutes later, he came back after researching and talking to people. Goes, "We don't have anything like that here." That tells you something, you know. And when you go into the church, there's posters of Joel Osteen there with his book. At least when I was there, "The Power of I Am," and these things are semi-blasphemous. The way he writes things and does things, he said that Mormons were Christians, and you know he doesn't know what he's doing. He later retracted that, but the fact that, from what I understood, he later retracted it. But, you know, when people talk about damnation and judgment, you know, he just kind of says, "Well, I don't, you know, it's not my job to really judge." Come on, it's your job as a pastor to tell the truth. So, you know.
Why don't more people pick up on that? How do they get away with it? Collecting all this money?
Because Christians are ignorant and they don't believe the Bible in a lot of areas. Hold on. We'll be right back. Okay, we've got a break. Hold on, folks. We'll be right back after these messages. Three open lines. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on here to Ron. And Ron, I've left it quite a, the break was right there. I need to explain something about why I said Christians are ignorant, what that means. But, you know, because it's an important issue. And
very important.
Yes, it is, and Christians are woefully ignorant, frequently, of biblical theology and biblical doctrines and things like that. The job of the pastor and the elder, a lot of Christians don't know this, the job of the pastor or elder is to, Titus 1:9, is to sorry, I always got to turn my phone down before, you know, before the show. The job of the pastor and the elder is to teach sound doctrine and refute error, among other things. Supposed to teach sound doctrine and refute error. So when someone like Joel Osteen gets up and says Mormons are Christians, he's not refuting error, because Mormonism is not a Christian organization. Religion teaches that God came from another planet, has a body of flesh and bones. You can become gods by having handshakes and keeping celestial law, and it's a non-Christian religion. They think they are, but they're not. And Joel Osteen should know better than to say Mormons are Christians. And he's also teaching the health and wealth gospel message. And apparently, what I understand, he will not say that Jesus is the only way. But I'm not sure that's exactly true. But there are things like that. And the most Christians just don't know what the word really says. And they don't know that the job of the pastor, in part, is for the equipping of the saints for the work of service. And so most Christians are ignorant to be able, among those things, as well as what the doctrine of the Trinity is. For example, when Joyce Meyer says that it's okay to be called little gods, no, it's not.
Right.
Or that Jesus finished the atonement in hell, no, he didn't. Most Christians just don't know because they don't study. And a good example of this is found in the idea of two men in the field, one is taken, one is left, out of Matthew 24 and Luke 17. People think that that's the rapture, but it's not. The rapture occurs, that's in 1 Thessalonians 4. But those verses are not about the rapture. In fact, the context shows that the wicked are taken. And I use this as an example. Anybody just go read the context, you'll figure it out. Read the context. What gets me is how people can teach this from the pulpit without knowing what the truth is, and that the Christians don't bother to study to check what the pastors are saying against the Word of God. Apparently, people aren't really taking the Word of God that seriously, and they're putting agendas like icing on the Bible cake and making it as sweet the way they want it to be. This is not how we're supposed to be doing this as Christians, and the result of that is we have teachers that are prosperous like Joel Osteen, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin before he died.
We say two in the pastor.
Meyer,
we say
Moore.
Two in the pastor.
I'm sorry?
We say two in the pastor. We say two people in the field, I'm sorry.
And two one men in the taken, field, one is taken.
They fall,
the wicked are taken.
Right, the one is taken, fallen, the Antichrist?
No, all it says is that the two in the field are one is taken, one is left. And the context is that the wicked are the ones taken. I use this frequently as an example of things, because it says they were giving in marriage, they were until the day that Noah entered the ark, until the flood came and took them all away. That's Matthew 24, and the two men will be in the field, one is taken.
Right.
They assume that it's the rapture. Well, if you go to Luke 17, it says two men are in the field. Well, it talks about that, but what's before it is they were eating, they were drinking, they were giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered the ark, just like it says in Matthew 24, where Matthew 24 says they entered the ark and the flood came, and two in the field wouldn't be taken. But in Luke 17, the same thing, it says the flood came and destroyed them all. The ones who are giving in marriage, the ones who are drinking, are the ones who are destroyed. And that's what the context is. And all you have to do is read it in context. Instead of adopting whatever particular view anyone has about that and just saying that's what it is. No, read it. And the fact is that this is highly problematic. Because this is symptomatic of the problem in the Christian church. And pastors are teaching that that is a rapture verse. Now, folks, I believe in the rapture. The rapture occurs.
Right.
Those just aren't verses about the rapture. That's what I'm saying. And the fact that the pastors can't figure this out, I mean, very, very, very few have ever seen this. And the fact that the Christians don't ever check it out either is a sign of how bad off the Christian church is. They don't check things out. So they don't, because they don't do that, they don't know about Joel Osteen and Joyce Meyer, etc. Okay?
Well, a lot of these preachers, they get people on there on Sunday, and they get one line out of the Bible, and how do people know that they don't get the Word straightened and talk to them? They're not teaching the Word of God.
A lot of people are not, but a lot are. A lot are, though. You know, I talk about this kind of a thing and complain, but there are a lot of good pastors out there, on the other hand. A lot of good men out there who are preaching and teaching faithfully the Word of God. There are. But the fact is that Joyce Meyer, Beth Moore, Joel Osteen, they're all on TV, these huge churches. For example, what would happen, miracle upon miracle, that Joel Osteen said, Matt Slick, I want you to come here to my church in Houston and preach whatever you want to preach one Sunday. Go for it. It's never going to happen. It would never happen.
Wouldn't.
And the reason it won't happen is because I would just open up the... I wouldn't go there to you know, make trouble. But if it ever did happen, you know, I would go there to preach the word of truth, and I would call people to repentance in their Christian lives and understanding that the purpose of our existence is for the glory of God, and that we are to study to show ourselves approved unto men and to God. And we're to do this and call people to do that and not be sitting around looking for ice cream on a Sunday morning. But meat is what we're going to be having. So that's never going to happen. And Joel Osteen would have a cleanup mess after I was there.
I just don't understand. Like, Jim Baker's back on the air. How's he? You know, he, I think he's back in trouble again, trying to sell all these different products. I don't know how to get away with it.
Because Christians aren't studying the Word. Why do these people do well? Because the Christians aren't studying the Word. Not every Christian.
No, they're not.
But enough people don't study so that they think that everything's good. And that
it's not
teaching the truth. But it's not. That's right. My job is not to teach people what they want to hear. My job is to teach the truth. And to be honest, I'm surprised I'm still on the radio after 15 years. It just means that there are good people out there who don't mind putting a guy on the radio named Slick, who doesn't pull punches and says things. And, you know, there are good Christians out there. But, it's just...
What about these faith healers? Do you have any problem with them? They touch somebody, they fall back and...
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Supposedly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I agree.
Yeah, it is. I participated in one of those things in order to get healed or get whatever, and it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah, I was the only one who didn't get knocked down to the ground because I just stood there. And people next to me would go down on their own. It was obviously that they were just hyped up and manipulated and stuff like that. Okay.
Can I give you one quick story?
Well, we got callers waiting, but real fast.
Okay. I'll make it real quick. When I was 16 years old, my father was in there. The doctor said he's not going to live through the night. And my two uncles were there praying for him. And Oral Roberts was on the phone with the phone on his belly. The doctor said he's definitely not going to live. Anyway, the next day, my father got up, jumped around, and running around the room and left. He lived 50 more years.
Well, good. It happens.
True story.
Sure, it happens, and people do get healed, and God does do miraculous things, and people in the Christian church can pray for healings, and many times it does happen. So, yes, absolutely. We just need a balance, that's all. Hey, buddy, we got a break coming up.
Thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry, I took so much time, sir.
That's all. No,
thank you.
Man. God bless. All right, hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Tony from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Tony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, man.
Listen, I got a couple of opinion of questions.
Okay.
I read a couple of authors, Watchman Nee and A.W.
Yeah. Stay away from Watchman Nee. Stay away from Watchman Nee. Yeah.
Okay, not good.
Yeah, just stay away. Okay.
What about A.W. Pink?
A.W. Pink's pretty good for the most part, a lot of areas. I think, was it Pink that's he's a universalist? Let's see, A.W. Pink, universalist. I'm trying to remember. It's either Pink or somebody else, Tozer.
There's A.W. Pink, A.W. Tozer.
Yeah, I think A.W. Pink is universalist. So stay away from him.
Okay. I bought a Bible the other day, another one. It's a complete Jewish study Bible. Kind of like a translation with some Hebrew words in it, you know.
Okay.
It seems pretty good. I mean, I'm comparing it to a New King James version, so it seems pretty good. But I didn't know if you was knew anything about that thing. I think it's David Stern is the one who
David Stern? You know, during the break, I can see what the questions are going to be. So I went online and looked up that, and literally, as I'm talking right now, I'm clicking on the Kindle version, and there's a click, and bang, I just bought it. So what I can do is download it, and I can go through, and I can check it out, and I can see if it makes sure it's okay and not, you know, not teaching some bad stuff. Usually those things are pretty good, but sometimes, you know, they're not, and I know where to look. You know, Romans 5:18, I can go there, and Genesis 17:9 or 6-9, and Genesis 12:3. There's various verses I can go check out and make sure that they're not teaching anything too heretical.
Oh, okay.
At all.
Okay. Okay. Well, there's another guy, a guy named Danny Ben Gigi. Okay. G-I-G-I is his last name. He's a Hebrew language guy.
Okay.
Apparently, he translated. I want to say the Septuagint, it might have been something else, back to the Hebrew, so there's a New Testament Hebrew.
Well,
and I've been thinking about getting that, but I don't know if that's...
Well, you know, I'm not sure what you're saying, but if you mean Hebrew to Greek back to Hebrew, that I wouldn't recommend that. Just go from Hebrew to English, and go from Greek to English. Okay. And in
well,
my opinion...
The main reason I asked...
Go ahead.
The main reason I asked, there's a... I was always curious about why did the Jewish guys, did they write all their New Testament stuff in Greek? Why didn't they do it in Hebrew?
Well, what the best information we have is that the New Testament documents were all written in Greek. There's a theory that Matthew may have been written originally in Aramaic or even Hebrew and then translated into Greek. But I've not been convinced of that kind of evidence. It seems a little bit conjecture-ish to me. And so Greek was the Greek is a well for anyway Greek is the was the language of commerce, universality there. So if they were to have written the New Testament in Hebrew, basically nobody would have understood what was going on, but Greek was already the lingua franca there. So it makes perfect sense to say that they would write in Greek, because I'm sure they wrote Greek. I'm sure that the amanuensis. Now, here's the thing. Luke probably understood Greek very well, and Paul did. And Luke wrote most of the New Testament, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. Paul wrote more books, but they're shorter. And the amanuensis, or the scribes, would have been skilled in writing in different languages. So they would have written and known those languages and been writing in Greek, as they were copied directly or you know, penned or dictated by an apostle. Okay?
Okay, okay. Well, that's what I need, man.
All right.
I appreciate it.
All right, man. God bless. Okay.
Talk to you later.
All right, talk to you later. Yeah, I've got that that Bible open on my one of my screens right now. All I got to do is go through and see what it's saying about various things and verses and stuff like that, and check things out. Anyway, no big deal. All right, let's get on the phones with Carmen from Brooklyn, New York. Carmen, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for your live, your program. Praise God indeed. I wanted to know, better understand, like, I always thought that, through the Bible, I read that in Matthew somewhere, 24, I'm not sure what verse, Jesus said that every eye would see him on his return. But then in another book, I don't know if it's John, it states that it's not going to be visible. So it's like contradictory. So that's my question.
Well, when it says every eye will see him, it's Revelation 1:7. Behold, he's coming in the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. Whoa, you know, what does that mean? Well, one theory is that there could be a supernatural occurrence where all people in heaven under the earth or in states of punishment will be able to somehow see what Christ is doing as he returns to earth. That's one theory. It's certainly possible because God can do the miraculous. It might be that it's talking about, every eye is talking about all kinds of people will see him. And that's a possibility as well. But I've never really understood what it exactly means, to be honest, because he's coming in the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be, amen. Now this is poetic, symbolic language too, because that's what the book of Revelation is. So then we have to ask the question, how literally do we take it? And I'm not casting doubt on the book of Revelation, it's just, how literally do we have to take it? And what would be the reasons to take it literally? And what would be the reasons to not take it literally, but symbolically? And what's it saying symbolically? So these are just legitimate questions we have to ask about the text. And
right.
You know, so go ahead.
I'm sorry for interrupting you.
No,
what part of Revelation you said? Chapter and verse?
Revelation 1:7. Behold, he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him.
Wow.
I looked it up. I don't want people to think, hey, that one memorized. I just looked that one up. You know, I have a program. So, okay.
But, yeah. Yeah, but somewhere, I don't remember where, he said it, that his return would not be visible.
It's going to be visible because in Acts 1, 9 through 11, when Jesus ascended into heaven, the angels were there with the disciples and said, this man whom you have seen ascend into the clouds, he will come back in just the same way as you have seen him rise. So he's going to come back visibly, not invisibly. Now, the Jehovah's Witness cult has said that he came back in 1914 invisibly. And then there's some full preterists, there's different variations. Or I should say, there are variations within full preterism, where some say that Jesus returned invisibly in the armies of that destroyed Jerusalem, and others say no, there was a manifestation in the heavens and he was seen. But I don't buy either one of those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wow! Thank you so very much, Matt. And you have a great program, and you have a great soothing voice. I mean,
well,
like
you know,
angelic almost. Manly angel. I don't know what they say. Angels neither one, right? Male or female. But
right.
Considering you're a male. God
right.
bless you, Matt.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thank you very much. All right. Hey, folks, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to, let's see, that would be Ron from Cary, North Carolina. Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
Doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got, man?
I want to ask you a question about the Shepherd's Chapel. What do you think? I've studied with them for 25 years. What do you think about them?
Stay far away from them.
Really?
Absolutely.
I really would like to know why.
Let me ask you, do they affirm the doctrine of the Trinity? Now, things have changed. I know groups change, right. But I studied them before. And this is years and years ago. Do they affirm that there's one God in three distinct simultaneous persons, the Trinity?
Yeah.
You've been studying, right, for 25 years with them. Do they affirm the Trinity? Are you
I've
there?
Never heard them say no. Yes, sir, okay, I've never heard them say no.
You've not heard them say no, but you've not heard them affirm it, right? Well, that's a serious issue. So hold on, we got a break coming up, and we'll talk about this a little more. I'll tell you what else they teach that's bad. All right?
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you,
okay.
Sir.
Sure, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome back. Let's get to Ron from Cary. You still there?
Yes, sir. Matt, can I ask you one question real quick about...
Sure.
Every time
sure.
I watch the Shepherd's channel, when Arnold, at the beginning of the service, he says, God bless you. At the end, he says, say. Have you ever heard him open up? Have you ever watched him?
I haven't watched him for quite a while. Because I just ended up yelling at the TV. And let me go through some more things at that. This is the research that I did years ago. This is back in 2002. All right? So I did this back in 2002. So if they've changed, praise God. But back then, they denied the doctrine of the Trinity, denied the existence of eternal hell, denied the doctrine of the rapture, denies the physical resurrection of believers, teaches annihilationism, teaches that certain Old Testament kosher laws regarding meat should be followed, teaches what's called the serpent seed doctrine. You've heard of that, right?
Well, a serpent, okay.
The serpent seed doctrine
is
that...
What do you mean, a serpent seed?
That's the teaching that Eve had literal sexual relations with the serpent in order to produce Cain.
That's, exactly, that's what he taught me. That's what I've learned.
And that's false doctrine. That's false doctrine. All you got to do is go to Romans 4:1, where it says the man had relations with his wife and they had the son Cain. This is so elementary, it's just easily refuted. And the Cainites, he says, the offspring of Cain are the tares in the parable of the wheat and the tares.
They're the tares and the wheat.
That's not what it says.
Well,
he's wrong.
Well,
he's wrong.
One thing, get back to it.
Well, also they teach interracial marriage is wrong. That's not true. He's wrong on that one. Being born again is to enter into this body from a spiritual body of another age. False. American Britain are the lost tribes of Israel. False. People were alive in a pre-existence. False. There's an earth age prior to Adam where a race of people lived. False.
Right.
Well, okay.
The first earth age is what they teach. Three earth ages and the millennium. And they say Satan took one third of people with him.
No. Roughly a third of the angels fell in the fall, but there was no pre-earth age thing. Basically, cults teach this stuff. Okay?
Weren't all souls born? Didn't Father make all the souls at one time?
He didn't make all the souls at one time. No. Look, let me tell you. I can tell you've been listening to him for a while. And I'm glad that you're listening to me. Let me just say that the Shepherd's Chapel is bad. It's false. Stay away from it. Okay? I have an open letter. This is back in 2005, January 5th, 2005. I have an open letter to him, to them, to answer these questions that I have. And I've never received an answer from them. And it's a series of questions so that they can have the right and the opportunity to respond. I've not heard from them ever that I'm aware of, okay? And there's basic questions on the Bible. Is the Bible the only inspired word of God, etc.? On the issue of the creation, nature of God, the nature of Jesus, nature of the Holy Spirit, man, Satan and the fall, sin, salvation, resurrection, death and judgment, eschatology, miscellaneous stuff, and particulars related to Shepherd's Chapel. And
the main thing they teach us is the Antichrist comes back as the sixth trump. He comes first. Do not worship the Antichrist. Their main thing every day.
Yeah, and I don't know if he's on the sixth trump. It might be. The sixth is the number of man, and 666, but that might be possible. But I'm telling you, that the Shepherd's Chapel, you got to stay away from it. So let me ask you. I'm serious. It's bad news. So let me ask you, what do you have to do to be saved from your sins? How are you saved from your sins, according to what Shepherd's Chapel teaches?
You believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Now, let me ask you.
That's the only way to heaven.
Yeah, good. Do they teach that Jesus is God in flesh?
Well, he's Emmanuel.
Do they teach he's God in flesh?
No. I know of.
Well, they need to.
Do they
teach that Jesus died on the cross and rose physically from the dead?
Right.
Do they?
Yes.
They do?
The way I've learned it, yes.
Okay. And Let me tell you what. I could go through a lot of questions. We got people coming in who want to answer, you know, on the air here. So I would suggest that you go to carm.org and look up Shepherd's Chapel, and you'll see the articles that I've written there. And there's, I don't know, maybe 10 or so. Okay, one,
so you're saying they're real
five.
Bad. I mean,
they're bad. Stay away from them.
They can hurt my salvation. They can hurt my salvation.
You either are saved or not saved. They can't hurt salvation. They can prevent you from knowing the truth. And a lot of very unfortunate, ignorant people. In fact, I can tell, I'll say this before we go, I can tell when someone from Shepherd's Chapel writes me. I can tell right away.
Really?
Yeah, they're rude, insulting, and condemning. Right away. And they'll write
rude,
me.
Haven't.
Well, no, you haven't been. But I can tell, you know, they'll say things like, you're such an idiot, you're a moron, you don't know what the Word of God says, you know, you're serving the evil one. And I go, oh, that's a Shepherd's Chapel person. And nine times out of ten, that's exactly what it is.
Okay. I would never do that. I mean, I've been studying with 25 years. That's not right.
Well, there's a reason they're like that, because that's how he used to teach. Look, there's a lot about it, but I got to get going. We got to get going because we got callers waiting. But study the stuff I put on the CARM website, okay? I did a lot of research. I went through I went through their newsletters for a couple of weeks, reading what they wrote and taught. That's how come I got the information. All right, okay, buddy.
Do me one quick favor. Watch his opening every morning when he opens up.
Listen
to his prayers. It's his state. I'm gonna call you back next week and ask you what you think it is.
Well, if I have,
I think he's saying, "Hey, to Satan."
Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks for bothering, Matt.
That's all right. Okay. Let's get to Kyla from Los Angeles. Kyla, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
Hey, Matt.
Yes.
Hey, it's me again. I have a quick question.
All right.
In the Bible, there's a couple of instances in the Bible where God talks about giving dreams and giving visions.
Mm-hmm.
My question today is going to be about visions, because I always hear just different people throughout my lifetime, different pastors and just women in general say, oh, God gave me a vision for my ministry. Yeah, God gave me a vision. Now, a dream is something when we know that when we go to sleep, well, we'll have a dream. What exactly is a vision? Is that when you're awake and God is playing a scene right before your eyes? Or is it like my imagination?
Well,
what's a vision?
There's different ideas of what a vision is. One is that you're awake and you see something. And it's given to you in full consciousness. That's one phrase, vision. But the word vision can be used in another sense. In that, you know, you have this impression that you're supposed to do something. And they say, God gave me a vision to do something. And so what do they mean by that? And whenever you're on TV, watching the people on TV, there's just warning flags that are automatic with me. When someone says, God told me, that's one of them. Or, God gave me a vision. You know, it's like, I got to listen to what they're saying. Okay, now I've had instances where I've been in, I mean, I believe that God has really spoken to my heart. But I can only recall two instances in my entire life in 40 years. And both of them I remember very clearly. And even then, I subject what this powerful experience was, I subject both of them to the Word of God. And that's it. And you don't hear me. I've been doing radio for 15 years. I've been on this network, I think, three or so. You just don't hear me say, God gave me a vision, folks. Let me tell you what he's told me. God told me something. I don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
It's ridiculous. You know, what I'll do is I'll say, the Bible says, let's go to the Word. What does it say? That's what you'll hear me talk about. And that's what needs to happen. Okay?
Understood. Thank you for that clarification, Matt, because, you know, as we're in these, like, you know, I always say the last days, but, like, you know, just like as we're in these times that we're in now, if you were to tune into, like, TBN or any of those TV channels, they'll say things like, God gave me a vision, and God told me this, and God told me that. And then I just see a lot of other people saying it, and my backup is like, well, let me check that in the Word, because I've heard people get up in prayer and talk about a vision that was completely non-biblical.
There you go.
And I'm like, I don't know about that. One time somebody said God told them to go outside and do three cartwheels.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, where do we draw the line with that?
Yeah, I just, when people start talking like that, it's because they lack wisdom and they lack discernment.
Okay.
And so then I generally tend to dismiss them. And another thing is it can be a form of manipulation to the people that are listening to them. Because if you're going to go to church and you're going to be sitting there listening to that, God told me this, and that's the kind of person you are. You're listening to that, then you're going to be open to any other suggestion. God told me, got a vision now. Oh, amen. What's the vision? What do you tell me?
Right.
It shouldn't be that. You know, me, if I was in the room, I'd like to, you'd see me horizontally do a knee tackle, get him out of the pulpit, and say, folks, open your Bible to the, you know.
Exactly.
See what God says.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Well, I thank you for that clarification, Matt. As always, I only trust a man named Matt Slick on the radio.
There you go.
All right, man. God bless.
All right. Well, God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Trust in a guy named Slick. Wow. Nathan from Virginia, you're on the air. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
It's a loaded question, I guess. Maybe. Maybe there's a simple explanation.
Mm-hmm.
But in Judges 6, verses 11 through 21 or 22, the calling of Gideon. There appears to be a Christophany there.
Yep.
But it starts with the angel of the Lord, and then a couple verses later it says, and the Lord turned and said to him, and then it ends with the angel of the Lord. Could you give me an explanation of how that works?
It looks like the angel of the Lord is not a created being, but is the pre-incarnate Christ communicating. Angel means messenger. Doesn't mean necessarily mean created being. So the angel, the messenger, came and said that. And what we see is that in the case of Judges 6, and the angel of the Lord came and sat with him under the oak. Now, in one sense, could it be a created angel in that sense, the created form of angel? Yeah, it is possible, because it says in other areas that the angel of the Lord, and it certainly appears that the angel of the Lord is a created being. Now, I did a little bit of research on this once, and I wanted to know something. Angel of the Lord. That's right. Hold on. And I want to know if the angel of the Lord appeared in the New Testament after the birth of Christ. And so the term angel of the Lord does occur in the New Testament. And so the angel of the Lord appears after Jesus is born in Matthew 2:13. Now, is that the angel of the Lord or an angel of the Lord? And there's a difference. But you know, so I want to see there's a pattern. I really didn't find anything. So, we're out of time. It looks like, I think, it's a Christophany. Okay? I'll just cut to the short there. All right?
All right.
Okay. All right, Nathan.
Thanks,
sorry about that. We're out of time, buddy.
Pleasure.
All right. Hey, Trish from Arizona. Sorry about that. A.W. Pink. Yeah, he's a guy who's a uni, unfortunately. And Drew from Atlanta. Sorry about that. Call me back. Monday, we can talk. God bless everybody. Hey, everyone, have a great weekend, will you? All right. Talk to you later.